everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show, and we welcome you to Buckmaster on a very dusty, windy afternoon here on this Thursday, December 3rd, 2020. Tom, it is a really dusty day out there.
It is. There's a lot of haze in the air, and I imagine that's because the wind's picking up
the dry,
loose soil. We haven't had any rain. We had no monsoon. So, I don't know. You've been out in it. What's this like to you?
Well,
does this remind you of anything?
It reminds me a little bit of Chicago growing up
in the
Windy City and those days.
The Windy City. There we go. I get the connection
and all
now.
That, the dust and everything else. It's been a kind of a weird weather year. The driest, hottest temperatures. At least we're getting more seasonal temperatures. Steve Christie is with me, Pima County Supervisor. Steve, you know, I grew up in the Chicago area, and that wind, I'll tell you, in the wintertime, it would just be bitter cold.
Yeah, I lived in the Midwest for a couple of years during high school, and I just remember that dark, like 4 o'clock,
4 o'clock
in the afternoon.
Yeah, by after, you know, Christmas is great in Chicagoland, everybody's decorating it, but after that,
and you have a snowfall, and
yeah,
it would be nice for a day,
January,
and then it would be dirty.
4 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon, it really started to get dark, and it was kind of dreary. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We are on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. There we take the feed, the live feed from KVOI.com, the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, now going to be the lone Republican on this board. It's a five-member board, and the current board is still... through December? What's the timing on this?
They're still installed and supervisors, and they will be through the first week of January. And I think our first meeting, if my mind serves me correctly, is January 5th, when the new board members are sworn in and the new board takes over.
Well, congratulations. You were reelected to another four-year term. But I do have to note that the Arizona Daily Star published, three or four letters that just seemed to really rake you over the coals on your dissenting vote about certifying the Pima County election. What was your thinking there, Steve Christie?
Well, it's where the rubber meets the road, I think, is where the folks who were critical of my vote wanted very desperately for me to segregate Pima County's election results from the rest of the country and from the rest of the state. My approach to the whole election process is that it is all part of a big pie, and Pima County has a portion of that pie, small though it may be, but it's still connected to the bigger whole. All elections, as far as I'm concerned, are interconnected. If you have the same people or a couple of the same people at the top of a ballot in Pima County, and you also have those very same people at the top of the ballot in Philadelphia, in Detroit, in Georgia, in Wisconsin, then there's a national connection there. When you have the same people at the top of the ballot and at various levels of the ballot in the state of Arizona, as you do in Pima County, either in Cochise County or Maricopa County or Santa Cruz County, you have the same people on the ballot, and everybody's voting for the same candidates. There's another connection there. So when someone when I vote in Pima County for President Trump, and there's a fraudulent vote generated for Vice President Biden in Philadelphia, that affects and negates my vote. That's the connection, and I think that's where folks really were upset, was don't look at those other elections. Don't look at the national or the state elections. There's nobody behind the curtain, and I don't look at it that way, because if I don't have faith and trust at the national level or the state level, then how can I have faith and trust at any level? And that was the only opportunity I had to exhibit and express my concern that something is not right. And there were mounting allegations at the time of the of this vote, which was the middle of last month. They were growing daily. They were concerning. And my only avenue, my only pathway to express that concern was to vote no for the certification of Pima County, because we're all connected in one election.
But you think they did a good job generally here in Pima County with the way the election was handled?
I do generally. I don't have any anecdotal, other than anecdotal evidence.
You don't have any beef with the recorder, F.N. Rodriguez, who's retiring?
After so many years of
28, Steve,
of very good
service.
But my only regret is that the hardworking poll people, election workers, had to work so diligently and arduously during the most highly contentious election cycle that we've seen in, if not ever, at least in decades.
Let's talk about this new board that's coming in. You're going to have three new members. One of the three new members was with us on the program yesterday. We spent a half an hour with soon to be your colleague, Steve Christie. His name is Rex Scott. He's the first Democrat to be elected to the Pima County Supervisorial District in number one. That's an area that is my home district that covers the foothills, Marana, parts of Oro Valley. He shared with us and our listeners that he reached out to you, and I guess you two had a very cordial conversation.
Well, that he did, and that we did. He called me on his own. He didn't have to, but he did. Wanted to make sure that he made a connection with me, and we ended up talking for, as he says, 45 minutes. I thought it was a little longer, but it was most cordial and most positive and very refreshing. And he also asked if he could speak to some of my staff for advice on certain administrative things. And we just had a very good heartfelt talk between the two of us. I found that to be very positive, and I'm very grateful that he made that gracious effort. Surprisingly, but Supervisor-elect Adelita Grijalva also made a texting contact with me, wishing me the best, and working to the point where at some juncture she would like to have a meeting, a cup of coffee, a sandwich or something. And I thought, well, that's awfully nice and gracious of her as well. And I'm looking forward to doing that too.
We need this board, Steve Christie, to be pretty much congenial. And of course, you're not going to always be on the same page, but I mean, in a very professional manner, everybody needs to come together, especially with what this board's going to be facing in the new year.
Absolutely. And, I have made that commitment to that type of a activity as far as an approach to board business, that we will do it in a civil and courteous fashion, and I don't see why we can't.
Why don't we take the break here before I segue into this very important meeting, and I want to get your take on what do you think might happen. There is an emergency meeting, correct, Steve?
There is, at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
This just came down, the notification of this. We got a news release about this meeting. Before we get into that, why don't we take the break right here, Steve Christie, and I want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery. They're home of the Danish Kringle. Steve, I brought a Kringle into the station. Steve, the owner, chief baker, Steve, was kind enough to give me a Kringle with an almond paste to bring into the station right before Thanksgiving. Do you know how big a hit that was here at KVY?
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it went very quickly. And it would be a great thing for your Christmas morning or maybe Christmas Eve to have that Kringle in the morning. And, of course, Steve's taking orders right now for breakfast, not only the Kringles, but, of course, the dinner rolls for your Christmas Eve or Christmas Day table. And, of course, finish the pies. Steve Christie, when it comes to a holiday pie, what do you usually, are you the traditional guy going with the pumpkin, or what's on your mind?
Yeah, I am a traditional pie. I love a pecan, mm-hmm. and I love a pumpkin, uh-huh. and I love an apple.
Apple, too. Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass, I don't think I've asked you this question about the pies.
I'm a pecan, southern-style pecan pie.
Southern-style.
Apple, I like the Dutch apple or the crumb.
Yeah.
Topping.
Yeah, what is that?
I like that.
Dutch crumble or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, Mona's Danish Bakery is up at the corner of northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. When I was talking about the wind earlier, I did not mention that we now have a wind advisory that's been issued by Pima County, so that dust is causing a lot of problems. People have breathing issues. It might just be a good idea to kind of stay inside today, and I know that when we have these kinds of days and that blowing wind out of the east, I'm prone to migraine headaches. And, you know, they say the east wind is the migraine maker, and put it together with 50-mile-an-hour winds and dust, it's a good day to try to maybe lay low. Let's take the break right here. We'll come back. Chuck has called us on the live line. We'll get to Chuck and Steve Christie right after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A little bump music 8 miles high, and that's probably how high the wind is blowing that dust around there today. This portion of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio is presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They have been such a great partner to us, Grant County, over in Silver City. The New Mexico, like Arizona, has really been hit hard with COVID, but the planning is underway. The better days are coming, and we really hope you'll take a look at their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and start thinking about, after everybody gets the vaccination and things start hopefully to return to somewhat normal into the spring, how about a getaway? It's just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City. So start your planning now. Information about where to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's continue now with our conversation with Steve Christie, newly reelected in District Number 4, the lone Republican on the new board. That will their first meeting will be in mid-January. But Steve, there is this emergency meeting tomorrow, and the public can attend. There are certain guidelines, of course. You must wear a mask and all of that. But what is your understanding about what is going to transpire tomorrow?
Well, the agenda item that's been conveyed to the public as well as to the supervisors is somewhat vague. It's basically states that there will be discussion slash possible action on COVID-19 related issues. Well, that leaves it, you know, pretty much open for a number of subjects and topics. So I don't know particularly what the purpose of this meeting is, but it's rather ironic or coincidental. I don't know that it comes right after the city council had a emergency special meeting.
With the mandatory curfew, which starts Friday.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
And then the governor had a press conference yesterday. So I'm sure it's all connected, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of similar issues that those two meetings brought up that will be brought up at tomorrow's emergency meeting. And it is a meeting that allows for call to the audience. So those who have concerns or feelings about COVID issue policy, issue and policy, they have the opportunity to voice those concerns to the board at 2 o'clock tomorrow at the Board of Supervisors meeting.
Let's go to Chuck. I don't know if Chuck has a COVID question, but whatever his question is, we'll welcome him to the program, and he's been waiting patiently. Chuck, you're with Steve Christie. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Supervisor Christie, as Mr. Buckmaster said, you are going to be the lone Republican on the new board. And as such, I'm sure you're going to be well aware of the fact that the Democrats are going to be coming at you pretty hard. And as a standard bearer for the Republicans, one of the issues that's going to be brought up, and I'm positive of this, is the idea of a sales tax. And I'm hoping that you are going to stand up and vote no on this issue, because it takes unanimous vote to pass that. So that's my comment, and thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Well, to answer Chuck's question, yes, I will stand up and take a no on a countywide sales tax.
Is that been talked about, do you think?
I think it always comes up in various circles over the months, and there's always that rumor out there. I haven't heard anything specific. And to be fair and honest, we haven't had the board seated yet as far as the new members, so it's hard to tell. Some of them, I think, have their own agendas and their own special projects that they want to pursue. I haven't heard anything, quite honestly, about a sales tax, but who knows what is going to develop in the next few months.
All right, let's go back to tomorrow's meeting. We should point out that the counties really can't go, I don't know, I guess for want of a better word, kind of over the head of Governor Ducey and what he has prescribed as far as an emergency order. So if the board attempts tomorrow to institute a mandatory, let's say, to make right now there is the voluntary 10 o'clock curfew in Pima County. If the board tries to up that to a mandatory, say, 10 p.m. curfew, you would then be operating outside of the state of Arizona law, would you not?
That would be my interpretation, and that would be my feeling and concern that if we were to try to implement anything that supersedes or is more exacting than what the proclamations of the governor are, that we would not be within the bounds of a legal situation. So it'll be interesting to see how the discussion goes along that line, as well as pertinent questions about the legality and how it will all fan out if there are such impositions put on the people of Pima County.
Were you happy with what you heard as far as the governor saying he wants to help restaurants out to the point where outdoor dining would be expanded?
Well, certainly. And, you know, the restaurant community has suffered grievously in this whole pandemic. It doesn't appear that maybe there were some areas that the governor could have addressed as far as more business-friendly, business-supportive issues. I mean, the whole process, I think the business community, as I've said before, I believe has been made to be the bad guy. And they are working diligently to cooperate with the proclamations and the protocols of COVID policy. I don't believe that restaurants and businesses are the cause or the hot spots of COVID transmission. And if you look at the vast majority of all businesses, they really are striving to provide a safe environment to give that sense of security to their customers. And for them to be the policing element of certain policies, for them to be restricted in how much business they can do, I think is unfair and unjust to those businesses. And as a former businessman, I can certainly feel for what they have to go through with the fact that they have not only these restrictions on how many people they can serve, but how their employees must be presented and how much and by how much they have to follow these rules. It's tough enough, particularly in the restaurant business, to stay in business and stay alive to begin with, and then you add all of these restrictions, impositions, and mandates on top of it. I'm so impressed with those that are surviving, and B, I'm very sorry for those that aren't.
And look at the list. It's more than a dozen.
It's very sad.
I mean, Llanos and on it goes. I want to switch gears here. I'm hearing that the car sales are off the charts right now, and it's almost impossible to get a good used car in this town, which is a good thing, I guess, because there's this huge demand. What are you hearing? Of course, your former life as an automobile dealer, what are you hearing from your friends?
I'm hearing just that the demand for vehicles is very high. People want to travel in them to get out of the restrictions of sheltering in place. Another area that I hear is doing fabulously is the RV business, the recreational business. They can't keep them on the lot. People want to have that ability of freedom to be able to be outdoors, to enjoy themselves. And this is why automobile sales, both new and used, are really off the charts. I'm glad I sold my business when I did, but Now would be a great time to be in the car business.
Yeah, because I'm hearing that if you've got a good used car, good clean used car, you are going to get top dollar for it right now.
Absolutely. It'll never be worth more than it is today.
I'm very distressed about we're losing all of our big marquee events. We had Steve Kasachek was with us yesterday, and he announced on the program that now all the major gem show players are not going to take part. It does affect Pima County, let's face it, because sales tax, it's revenue sharing for all the counties. This is going to be a very tough tourism winter.
It certainly is, and I just got a call from one of my good friends that has a son, a teenage son at a high school age in a boarding school back east who's a very talented lacrosse player, and my friend and that boarding school made arrangements to organize and hold a lacrosse tournament here at Keno Sports Complex that involved a number of schools from across the country that were all coming to Tucson, including some 3,000 people that were willing, with money coming out of their pockets, to spend it and spread it around here in Pima County. And then abruptly, it was cut off and ended, and the Keno complex is sport complex was closed. So this is a huge economic impact, and I am very frustrated that I feel that my colleagues and many of our city and county leaders don't pay enough attention to the economic effects of the policies that are being imposed with the COVID protocols.
I expect you will be saying something similar to that at the meeting tomorrow.
As the opportunity arises, I certainly will.
All right, Steve Christie, want to wish you and your lovely family a wonderful holiday season. Stay safe. Thank you.
Same to you, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Coming up next, the need for food assistance is just off the charts here in Pima County. How you can help, that's how we will cover that next. Stay with us.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Speaking of Green Things, I've started this little project here on the show. Tom Fairbanks, perhaps you've heard me talk about it. Probably did. You heard me talk about it yesterday.
Are we talking about poinsettias?
Yes, we are. And 25,000 and going fast over at Green Things, where they grow them. This growing process starts early in the new year. Well, here's my deal, and here's what I'm proposing. A lot of folks are alone this holiday season. You may have a neighbor, someone on the block that's alone this Christmas season. Please go buy Green Things, pick up a poinsettia or two, and then deliver it to a neighbor. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, 50 years and still growing. Their website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Zocalo Village has beautiful things from Mexico, Mexican folk art that can be used for your holidays. They even have a tree, these incredible trees from Mexico, all made out of tin, and with these great, put a light under it, and it looks beautiful. But again, this thing that I'm pushing right now is help a neighbor alone, someone that could, this would really cheer up their holiday season, deliver a poinsettia to them. All right, the Buckmaster Show Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the Live Line to Norma Cable, who is the Public Relations and Marketing Specialist for our Community Food Bank, which is one of the top food banks in the country. In fact, in 2018, the Feeding America Network named the Southern Arizona Community Food Bank, named was named the Food Bank Member of the Year. This food bank here in Tucson goes back to 1976. But I'm telling you, this year, the need, Norma, is greater than ever. There's a lot of people who are in desperate need for food assistance. Unfortunately, that's the case. Norma, first of all, how are you? Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Bill. Thank you. I am doing just fine. I appreciate the chance to speak about the food bank, and thank you. Yes, we were named Food Bank Member of the Year in 2018, and you know, we do serve five counties and a lot of people, but this has been a year we just have not seen before. A lot of challenging situations.
In our brief time together, let's go over the nuts and bolts about how people can help the Community Food Bank get this assistance to the people that need it this holiday.
Absolutely. The best way that you can help the Community Food Bank right now is to go to our website, communityfoodbank.org, and donate with a monetary donation online or sign up to volunteer. We are continuing to recruit for volunteers who are able to help us with our drive-through distribution. So that does mean you would be standing for a morning, loading boxes or cartons or bottles into a car and repeating that over and over. You don't have to go to the gym that day. You get a workout. Yeah. But those are the two best ways to support the food bank right now. A monetary donation goes a long way. Making a food donation, which I know is a popular way that a lot of people like to support our food bank, you can do that in our Season for Hope ongoing food drive, and you can drop off at locations also listed at communityfoodbank.org. Unfortunately, we can't just take a box here and a bag there because we run into quarantine situations with the COVID pandemic and making sure that food is safe. So we do have one big food drive going on right now, a lot of drop-off locations that are safe to drop off food, but really we're encouraging the monetary donation because that does allow us to keep our doors open and to just continue to support our partner agencies that are doing work all over Southern Arizona and the five counties that we serve.
Yeah, there has been some confusion, Norma, about the, you know, you just can't just open up the trunk and put a box of food out pretty much anywhere. That because of the COVID restrictions, you are collecting at specific sites this holiday season.
That's absolutely right. And you can find those sites if you do go to communityfoodbank.org and just search. We have a search bar at the top, drop-off locations, and you can find those sites all over town. They're businesses and places that have supported us throughout the year and are able to take your donation if you would rather give that way, and I completely understand that. And, you know, food drives are essential to the way that we operate. It is just that we do have to be so careful this year in how we're handling that food, just making sure that we're keeping it all safe and getting it to people in our community.
For those that do want to go that route to one of the designated sites, what type of food are you looking for?
We are always looking for non-perishables, food that can safely travel. And again, we're talking about food safety. So nothing that's refrigerated, nothing that's fragile, nothing that is going to not make that trip in good shape. So again, we're encouraging the canned food, the donations of beans, rice, pasta, tomato products, canned vegetables, canned soup, canned proteins are great. The tuna or the chicken that you see canned, and also peanut butter and also cereal, low sugar cereal. We're always encouraging that healthy donation, nutritious donation that you know is going to be good for a working family or a senior or a child who's going to be receiving that food. Just keeping in mind that, you know, if we are the in between for food that is not that nutritious and good for our community, we're not really helping. We want to keep that health and nutrition at the top of the list as far as a donation goes.
What are your hours, the new distribution hours over at the Keno Sports Complex, Norma?
Sure. We did shift to be a little bit later in the morning. So we're distributing now from 8 to 11 a.m. That is a drive-through distribution. We do see a lot of people lining up early in the morning, and there really is no need to because we do have a good supply of food. And it's actually better if you come later in the morning, say around 9:30 or 10. The lines have gone down. It's an easier trip to go through, and we do have food. We have not run out of food. We're not going to run out of food as far as we can tell. So we just encourage people to come later. But we did shift to those later hours because we did hit the cooler weather. Yay.
Thank goodness.
It was
goodness.
A long, hot summer for us. Right.
Right.
We've been distributing food outside, drive through in order to keep it in a safer environment for everyone, right? For the people receiving the food, for the staff and the volunteers and the National Guard that are distributing it. So we did spend all summer out at Keno and are so grateful to the county for allowing us the use of that facility. But that was a hot summer, and you know, Bill, it was
a
hotter summer than we usually have.
Yep.
So we literally just, one of the first things we did in setting up out there was just to measure the shade and see where it was at 7 a.m. and then where it was again at 10 a.m. So we were sure we had the food in a safe position that was shaded, and our volunteers and our staff that are distributing. So we did shift. We're going now an hour later because we don't have the worry of the sun and the heat anymore. Thank you. We're so grateful for that. So we're now distributing from 8 to 11 a.m. at Keno. You bring a photo ID. You keep your windows rolled up. You just show us your photo ID through the window. It's operated in a safe manner. We get you through. We get you the food, and it's a good amount of food. We're distributing not only the non-perishables that we are allowed to in that bag of distributed through the USDA, but also we usually can supplement with milk or eggs, depending on the day. That changes. Donated produce like sweet potatoes, regular potatoes, apples we've seen a lot of lately, some oranges. We even had celery over the holiday. So a lot. I think most people are surprised by the amount of food that we've given out. And if we look at our numbers, we're up millions of pounds of food in distribution over the same period last year. But really, we just are making sure that people are getting it. And then we know that sometimes people get so much that they go home and share it with their neighbors, their friends, and their family. That's perfectly fine with us. We just want that food into the community.
Norma Cable, thank you for everything you do. Have a great holiday season. And again, the website, communityfoodbank.org, a wealth of information there. Norma, thank you very much. And Giving Tuesday was very successful. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're just thrilled and, again, so grateful for this community that continues to support us.
Thank you, Norma.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Norma Cable with the Community Food Bank. Coming up next, Don Luce. The Consular is in the house. Attorney Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show contributor on The Laws next.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Tomorrow I'll have a one-on-one. Buckmaster goes one-on-one with Chuck Ryan, who is the new fire chief. Well, relatively new. We'll talk lots of issues with COVID. Fire department really doing a great job, never more important than right now. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. We're just so blessed to have a person like Don Luce on our roster of contributors to this program. Don appears every month talking about the law, something he knows so much about. Mr. Luce, the legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and this new, well, the new printing, well, both are in their second printing, but the latest to go into the second printing, Don, good to see you, by the way.
Good to see you, Bill, thanks.
Is the estate planning book in Arizona so important to get that estate planning taken care of? For folks looking for New Year's resolutions, I'd put that estate planning up there near the top. It's something folks don't want to do, that, you know, they find every excuse in the world to say, do I really need to do it? Well, the answer, yes.
Yes, I agree.
All right, Don, got to lots of questions about, well, both of our measures passed. The marijuana measure passed and is now a law as of November 30th. Then there was the new voter-approved education tax. Is that also now law?
It is. It was certified November 30th with the marijuana proposal, so both became law as of that date. However, the difference between the two proposals is the invest in education proposal, which is what it's called, applies to tax years after December 31, 2020. So essentially starting next year, the 3.5% surcharge will kick in and take effect with regard to people who earn incomes, taxable incomes of $250,000 or more, or if you're married filing jointly, $500,000 or more. And that, that law is... by some estimates, expected to generate $940 million in additional tax revenue each year.
Come again? Almost $1 billion?
Correct. You heard me correctly. $940 million per year.
Whoa. But there is a legal challenge.
Two, actually. They were filed on the same day as soon as the votes were certified, November 30th. These two lawsuits were filed challenging the constitutionality of the Invest in Ed law. So just some background. This proposal has been around for the better part of a year. You know, you and I have spoken about it during past interviews. This proposal was challenged even before it went on to the ballot, if you remember. The challenge was that it didn't meet the requirements for a ballot initiative. The courts found that it did, and that challenge failed. And in fact, it passed 52% to 48%. I don't know if that's statistically significant. The marijuana initiative passed by a greater margin, but 52% of the voters, which translates to about 1.7 million Arizona residents, voted in favor of the proposal. And as I mentioned, it was certified on November 30th, which means it became law. And now we have two lawsuits pending in the Maricopa County Superior Court, one filed by the Goldwater Institute and many other people, a lot of whom are in the Arizona legislature. They're plaintiffs in the one suit. And then in the other suit, a retired Maricopa County Superior Court judge and a business owner. Those two suits are likely to be merged into one because they involve essentially the same issue, which is, can voters, through a ballot initiative, increase taxes? I mean, there are a lot of nuances with regard to that argument, but at the heart of it, it's what power do the voters have in Arizona with regard to these ballot proposals that you see every couple of years, I know, when you go to vote. The plaintiffs in these lawsuits say, essentially, that the voters can't take the place of the legislature in raising taxes,
that's a function of the legislature
exclusively.
And that they have it has to be a two-thirds the majority of the legislature to have a new tax.
That's exactly right. There are some other related arguments that are made by the plaintiffs, but essentially it's that, yeah, voters can enact laws. The Arizona Constitution allows that. But when it comes to taxation, that's exclusively within the province of the legislature. It's going to be an interesting question for a number of reasons, not the least of which is about $940 million a year is at stake in terms of revenue that would be allocated towards education, but also because there are going to be other things, and there have been other things in the past, that resemble what's happened with the Invest in Ed proposal. Give you a quick example.
Yeah, I was just curious about precedent.
So even this past election, Prop 207, which was the sister prop to 208, 207 legalized the recreational use of marijuana, also imposed a new tax on sales.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
And also directed where those tax revenues were to go. Mm-hmm. Before that, there were taxes imposed on tobacco products mm-hmm. with the proceeds earmarked to fund health care. And there was a sales tax hike, which voters directed that the dollars be put into classroom spending. So mm-hmm. it's not like this hasn't happened before in some fashion or another, but it's hasn't been challenged like it's being challenged now. And I think in part because of the huge dollars involved in the sense that some people have that, you know, this is really unfair that the majority of people can essentially tax a very small minority of people. And if we're going to do that, we ought to leave it to our elected officials to do that and not put it to a popular vote. So that's essentially what the lawsuits are contending. I found it very interesting to check and see where the $940 million would go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think a lot of people really understand that all of that money is earmarked for specific, very specific things in the education system. And so initially, all of the tax revenue, the surcharges mm-hmm. that are collected by the Department of Revenue go into a special fund that's called the Student Support and Safety Fund. And then from that fund, 50% is to be provided to the schools for the purpose of hiring teachers and classroom support personnel and increasing base compensation. Okay, so that's half of it. And then according to the new law, 25% is to go to the schools for the purpose of hiring student support services personnel and increasing base compensation for student support services personnel. 10% goes for providing mentoring and retention programming for new classroom teachers to increase retention.
Mm-hmm.
12% goes to the Career Training and Workforce Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And 3% goes to the Arizona Teachers Academy Fund. So the voters in passing Prop 208 have not only authorized the generation of nearly $1 billion a year in new taxes, but they've also said where the money's to be spent.
It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. And precedent, though, is a big deal in the law, and you've brought up some of those precedents before with this.
Right, yeah. But the plaintiffs in these suits are contending that those proposals were never challenged
okay.
legally.
Okay.
And so that doesn't constitute binding precedent, and this is a new challenge with new theories, and the constitutionality of 208 is going to be tested directly.
Very interesting. Don Luce, have a wonderful holiday season.
Thanks,
the best
Bill.
To you and
too.
Your family. Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. We're out of time. Boy, the time went very quickly today. Back with you 12:04 tomorrow on behalf of Don Luce, Tom Fairbanks, Engineering Producing. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.